Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
We're in a series called You Matter, and today's message is called Freedom Matters. How appropriate, right? Freedom matters. Freedom matters. So our key text today is Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Say that with me. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So it's for freedom that we've been set free. You've been set free to be free. What a concept. He set you free, so be free. Don't go back again to the old ways of slavery and bondage and captivity. You've been set free. He paid the price for freedom, so be free. Anybody remember the old movie Castaway with Tom Hanks and his little volleyball friend Wilson? Remember that? I randomly came across that a handful of weeks ago and watched a bit of it again. And Tom Hanks, if you haven't seen the movie, is in an FedEx airplane crash. He's the only survivor. He's on the stranded island for years. He becomes, his only friend is a volleyball whose name is Wilson. I mean, the brand is Wilson. And so he talks to Wilson. That's his friend. And he finally gets rescued. So funny. My mom, when the movie came out, this just hit me. Mike and I, we were living in Nashville. This is pre-children. And my mom and dad had come down to see us. And the four of us went to the movie theater. And the movie is a little bit on the slow side. Some may say boring. My mom fell asleep in the movie. I'm just remembering this right now. I'm having this flashback moment and sharing it with all of you. And she wakes up like when there was some crash. And she was like, she missed like half of the movie. She didn't know what had happened. She was completely lost. And we had no idea she slept through the movie. It was so funny. We still tease her about it to this day. Anyway, so Castaway. He finally is rescued off the island. Do you think he wanted to go back to the deserted island after he was rescued? No, of course not. It's ridiculous. He wanted to be free. If there's a person who's been in prison, a POW, someone who's been rescued from human trafficking, do they want to go back into captivity and slavery? Of course not. Of course not. We've been set free for freedom. We've been set free for freedom to live free. And the truth is that Jesus has done everything needed, everything necessary for us to live free. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He did a finished work. He performed a finished work on the cross. No loose ends. He left nothing undone. He didn't do part of the job. He did a finished work. But have you noticed that we're all not fully free? We're not all walking in full freedom. None of us, right? We're not walking fully free. But he paid the price for our full freedom. What areas in your life are you still bound? Are you still enslaved? What parts of your character look too much like you and need to look more like Jesus? What places in your soul are you still treasuring sin? So if he did everything necessary for our freedom, then why aren't we free? Why aren't we free? And what do we need to do to get closer to that freedom? Because if he paid for our freedom, if freedom is ours, it's our inheritance. He bought it for us. It's our inheritance. Do you know how many thousands and millions of dollars are out there that are given to people through inheritances? Tofumi probably knows some of this, being the accounting whiz that you are. Do you know how much is left out there, never to be taken, never to be received? I don't know about you, but if there were several million dollars that was left to me and I didn't know about it, that'd be one thing. But to know about it and to not take it and receive it as my own, who would do that? No one would do that. Freedom is our inheritance, my friends. Freedom is our inheritance. It's in the will, baby. But we get it now. We've died to us, and this is what we get. The new life in Christ says your inheritance is freedom. It's really good news today. So let's talk about freedom. But let's first pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Father, we need you today. We love you today. We honor you today. We honor your word. We honor your truth. We honor you, Jesus, for paying the price for our freedom and making that our inheritance. We say thank you for that today. Speak to us. Give us revelation. Pour it out, God. Revelation from heaven. That we could grab hold of this inheritance of freedom and live as we're called to live, which is free. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's funny, first service, Mike leaned over to me and he said, "Jewel, you're anointed, so preach strong and be who you are." And I'm saying to you, you're free, so be who you are. We need to be reminded who we are. And we are free people, called to free people. Amen? So how do we live free? How do we do it? I'm going to give you three keys today. There's more ways to be free, but I'm going to give you three keys today. First key to living free is partner with his freedom. Say it with me. Partner with his freedom. You and I get the opportunity to partner with Jesus for this freedom. He did it all, but we have to say yes to that freedom and partner with him to walk in it. We have to say yes over and over and over and over and over and over again. Every time we need freedom, we have to say yes to it. It just doesn't come upon us. We have to say, yes, here's an area in my life. I need freedom. Lord, you've paid for it. I say yes to that. I want that freedom. I want to walk it out. I want to walk in that. I want to live in that. We have to partner with his freedom. I heard a pastor once say, God does not give us an overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. I like it because it takes some initiative on our part. You don't get to say, thanks, Jesus, for everything you did, all the hard things you went through, laying your life down, pouring out blood for me, and I'll just sit over here and eat bonbons and potato chips on my couch. Right? We have to partner with him in this freedom. So I want to talk about the flood. And I'm not talking about Noah's flood. I'm talking about my flood. We had a flood in our house. It was a Friday afternoon, June 2nd, to be exact, 2017. Friday, June 2nd, 2017. Now, prior to that, school had ended in May, and our family, we had taken a vacation. We had gone to the beach in Mexico. My kids took their friends. We had an awesome beach, an awesome vacation, laying on the beach, soaking up the rays, relaxing, reading books, laughing, playing board games, having fun. It was awesome. Awesome. And so here we are, coming home, 2 o'clock on that Friday afternoon, open the front door to step into water, to see the ceiling above my white baby grand piano had fallen open, drywall hanging from the ceiling, yellow insulation is everywhere, all over the floor, all over my piano. And you're like, what is happening right here? What's going on? You know, because you're like, have we been robbed? What's happened? So the long and short of it is, our house, it was 15 years old. It's 19 years old now. So things, they get old. So it happened to be while we're on vacation that the valve behind the washing machine had corroded over all those years and decided to burst while we were on the beach. And so it spewed out hot water until the hot water was depleted, and then it just continued spewing until we got home. It was a minimum of 3 days. It had been saturating our house. So about 75-80% of our house was ruined by this water damage. Not something you really want to walk home to. So the next morning, that was on Friday. I mean, you know, the crews came in. We called our insurance. They were amazing. Got the crews in, started cleaning it up, packing everything up, getting everything out. That next morning, I'm sitting with the Lord really early because I didn't really sleep a whole lot that night. And I'm with the Lord that morning. And I heard the Lord whisper to me, and he said, Joel, I'd like to challenge you. I'd like to ask you if you'd be willing to not grumble or complain through the entire renovation process. What? Really? Wow. Okay. So I sat with that. He said it again. So kind. It wasn't a command. It wasn't a demand. It was, I'm asking you to do this. Would you be willing to do it? And so I said, okay, Jesus, I will. Yes. The answer is yes. I'll do it. Little did I know what I was saying yes to. Little did I know how long the renovation would go on and how hard the renovation would be. But I had said yes to Jesus, and my yes means yes. And he knew that. So that afternoon, we had a family meeting. We were at a hotel. We were at a hotel for, I think it was a couple weeks now. I've lost track of all the details, but we had our family meeting that afternoon, and so I shared it with my family, and I said, this is what the Lord asked if I would do, and I said, yes. If anybody else wants to join me. No. So we went on the journey. Because I said yes, by the grace of God, that was all the grace of God for sure, I lived in a supernatural peace through that time that I would not have lived in had I not said yes to partnering with Jesus with his freedom. Had I said no, let me just tell you, I would have grumbled and complained not once every day, not twice every day. I guarantee you, I would have grumbled and complained multiple times throughout every day, throughout the entire 5-month renovation that it took. That would have been me. It was horrific. I can tell you now because the time limit's up, the renovation's over, so I can complain and tell you right now how horrifically bad it was. Because it was. I don't know if you've ever lived through a renovation. Now, the first month, we were not in it. We were at a hotel. It was like 2 weeks. And then we had already had pre-planned a two-week vacation. Praise Jesus. He knew. He foreknew that, I think. So it was 4 months of us living in it. If you've never lived in a renovation, don't. Just don't. If anybody asked you to do it, say no. It's horrible, okay? There's drywall being cut and plastered, and there's drywall dust is the worst. It's everywhere. It doesn't matter how much of that what is that called? That stuff you put up, the plastic thing that you hide all your cabinets with, and it doesn't really work, people. It's there to make you feel better. Like, it doesn't work, okay? That drywall dust gets everywhere. And, of course, first it was the fans that they're so loud, like they're deafening. They're trying to dry out the house. And then you've got all these decisions to make on the new items that you now need, which it's just overwhelming to make all these decisions. And there's workers day in, day out. And then this work gets delayed because this guy's delayed, because this guy's delayed. And so it's just this ongoing, frustrating process. It's horrible. It's complete chaos. It's ugly. It's ugly. Nothing's pretty in your home. I'm a person of order. I like order and I like beautiful, okay? So I like my house to be orderly and beautiful. Is that too much to ask? I don't really think so. You know, it's not that big of an ask. But there was nothing orderly and nothing beautiful for 5 entire months in my house. And it took everything in me. But every time I would think a grumbling thought, it would be like, I would hear, yes, Lord, I said I wouldn't do it. And I didn't, by the grace of God. But had I not surrendered and partnered with him in this, I would have created, me alone, would have created an even worse environment than what we were already living in because of the spirit and the atmosphere that I would have created with my own grumbling and complaining. And my entire family, including me, would have been completely miserable. Do you realize that even when you grumble and complain, you don't feel any better? You don't. It's just like you dig the dirt, the muddy dirt, and you just get in it. You're just wallowing in it. You don't feel any better. Grumbling and complaining does not solve. But by the grace of God, I said yes to partnering with his freedom. Little did I know, it was not just about the renovation of my home. It was about the renovation of my heart. That's what God was after. It's what he's always after. Whatever trial you're currently in or trials that you're currently in, it's really not about that. It's about right here. It's about what's going on in your heart. It's about him refining you, repurposing you, renovating you. That's what it's really about. These other things, he can take care of it. Do you know whatever healing you need, he can take care of it like that? That's really not the issue. Whatever financial need and issue you're having right now, it's really not the issue. Whatever issue that you, character issue, it's about you. It's about you. It's about your heart. It's about you becoming more like Jesus, looking more like him. That's what it's about. It's not about all the other things. He can take care of them like that. They're to perfect us into his image. So Jesus paid for me to live in peace. Do you know, because I chose peace, sure, my home, my then 15-year-old home looked brand new. You come to my house today, it's 19 and a half years old. It does not look like a 19 and a half year old home. That's a blessing. It was a hard 5 months. But I'm reaping a lot of really good benefits now. Even so much more than that. Do you know what God did in our family? When we're living in this little tiny, I don't even know how many square feet it was like three little rooms that we're living in. for 4 months. Do you know what God did in that, in my family? The ottoman became our dining room table. It became our board game table. It became the centerpiece of the conversations, the rich conversations and laughter that we would have in a little tiny sectional with a little tiny ottoman. It was also my son's bed for 4 months. Yesterday was so great. I didn't tell them why. I just, you know, nonchalantly, we're all in the kitchen. I was like, say, hey, you guys remember the flood? Like, what do you guys remember about the flood? They remember some funny things. My son says, I remember I didn't have very many clothes. And it's because when the flood happened on that Friday, I'm telling you, the teams came in so fast. I went to Cheekonite to preach and minister, and I get home that night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, they had packed up my son's entire room. They packed up almost our entire house. So all he had was the suitcase that we took to Mexico, which you don't take much when you go on vacation to the beach. You take a few pair of swimming trunks, some flip-flops, and like a swim shirt. So God love him. He really didn't have hardly any clothes. I had to buy him clothes. I did buy him some clothes. But my point, another blessing was my kids are resilient. They're resilient. They're better for it. They can go through hard things and live. It's okay. It was a beautiful time of intimacy for our family. We will not forget the summer of 2017. My question, what benefits do we receive when we give into sin? What fruit do we reap? What fruit do we reap from sin? Romans 6:21 says, what benefit did you reap, from the things of which you are now ashamed? How good do regrets feel? Does the pleasure of sin, of giving into your flesh, outweigh the regrets they bring? I don't think so. In fact, I know so. However pleasurable sin is momentarily, this is in comparison, these are the regrets. They are so much greater and they last so much longer. Like the momentary pleasure of sin, whether it's the anger outburst or the drugs or whatever it is, it's a momentary pleasure, literally momentary. And yet the effect, the regret is up here and the effects can go on for years if you don't receive any healing. They don't compare. Sin lies, sin deceives. Sin paints this luring picture that invites us in and then deceives us and gets us on the other side. And that's what happens when we choose not to partner with his freedom. So first key is partnering with his freedom. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay, second key, are you ready? Get a word. Get a word from God. Say it with me, get a word. Get a word. So we partner with him. We partner with him and his freedom. And then we got to get a word. If you want freedom in an area, then you get a word from God regarding freedom for that area. Whatever area of struggle, whatever area you're dealing with, get in that Bible and get a word that applies directly to that issue and then stand on it. Our flood happened on June 2nd. God gave me a word on June 18th. I was sitting with Jesus again. And on that particular morning, he said, Julie, I'm going to build your house. You don't have to worry about this. I'm going to build your house. And he led me to Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. He said, Julie, you've been building my house. So now let me build yours. I'm going to do it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You are so kind. Now, he didn't do it in my timetable. I would have done it in 5 weeks, not 5 months. And I would have had every worker in there right on time in an orderly fashion on the exact day and time, and they would have gotten done things a lot quicker. There would have been absolutely no mess whatsoever. But he was doing a work on me, the renovation on me. And so through it, every time something in my heart, I would start to feel anxiety, or I would start to get frustrated with something, I would go back to the Word. Lord, you said you'd build our house. You said you'd build my house. You said you'd turn beauty from ashes. So you know what? You can turn beauty from messy drywall too. Yes, Lord. You said you'd make all things new. And I thank you that that's what you're doing with our home. And Lord, I thank you in the process, and I ask you that you would make our home even more warm, more welcoming, more inviting, more full of your presence than it was before. And it's exactly what he did. I can't tell you how many times I've heard when people come in my home, there's such a peace of God here. The presence of God is so thick here. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. Your home can feel the exact same way. If you invite him in, if you make it his home and not yours. So get a word and stand on it. So as I was thinking on this, obviously there's other struggles. Maybe you don't need peace. Maybe you're not living in the middle of a renovation. And maybe you don't need supernatural peace right now. Okay. Maybe you're dealing with rejection. Maybe rejection has plagued you all of your life. And you don't feel accepted by anybody. You feel isolated. You feel like the outcast. You don't feel like people like you. I have good news for you today. God has a word for you too. It's Mark chapter 1, verse 11. The same thing he said to Jesus, and you are a co-heir with Jesus. You are his beloved. God says, you are my beloved, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Be accepted. Be accepted because you are accepted by God. Maybe fear's your issue. Maybe these last 18 months have put you in a big tailspin, and fear overwhelms you and plagues you and torments you. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our help, and he's present right now. He may have helped you yesterday, but he's here right now to help you. He is a current God. He is a present God. He's right here with you, with me, in the middle of whatever we're going through. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Maybe addiction. Well, I'm going to say this. I believe, this is not the Bible, this is my personal belief. My personal belief is every single one of us have some kind of an addiction issue. It can be on a small scale up to an enormous scale and anything in between. But our carnal, fleshly natures are bent toward addiction. And when we are pressed as people, when things get hard, when we feel uncomfortable and we start squirming, our carnal nature is to run to something that will appease it, something that will satisfy it, something that will fulfill it, something that will numb it, something that will take it away, at least momentarily. That's our nature. That's our carnal nature outside of God. The great news is, I have an awesome word from the Word for us to stand on. So whether your addiction is food, whether your addiction is shopping, whether your addiction is pornography, whether your addiction is sex, I don't know, whatever it is. This word applies to whatever it is. Are you ready? This is Psalm 119, 133. Prepare before me a path filled with your promises. Hear me. And don't allow even one sin to have dominion over me. Come on! I mean, I need to hear some hooping and hollering at this point. I mean, come right? And don't even allow one sin to have dominion over me. How do you do it? When you're tempted to go to whatever it is, Lord, I thank you. I stand on your word that you gave me. Lord, don't allow this sin. I don't want any sin to have dominion over me. Only the Spirit of God have dominion over me. Nothing else. Blood of Jesus, come. Help me, Jesus. You're a present help, so help me now. I'm asking, I'm crying out right now in Jesus' name. That's how you do it. It pushes it back. All right, I'm gonna take a little bit of a tangent, and this is an intentional tangent, all right? Because I have time. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are a triune being. If our spirit is sick, unhealthy, then our soul and our body will be as well. If our body is unhealthy, it will affect our spirit and our soul. If our soul is, it will affect our body and our spirit. Are you with me? It affects all three. It affects one another. So we have, I'm talking spirit stuff here, which is the most powerful, okay? But we also have to know we have a soul and we have a body, and we need to be intentional about taking care of our soul and our body as well. Because if they're really sick, it's going to bleed over to our spirit, and we're not going to be all we're called to be and do all we're called to do for Jesus. Are you with me? Here's just a tip today, all right? I love you. I want to help you. We have a hormone called dopamine. A lot of people call it the happy hormone. One of the happy hormones, right? It's released when, see, there's a little happy little ding. That was perfect, wasn't it? Woo! Right there. Happiness. It was just came through. See? Right now, as you're laughing, dopamine is being released into your body. Didn't that feel good? Didn't it feel good to laugh? But with it, and I am not a doctor here, but it drives us, it drives us to want the same feeling again and again and again. So do the same behavior, because I want to feel this way again and again. I like that feeling that it releases, that dopamine releases. We like it. Listen, my friends, there are ways to get dopamine in a healthy way. Why are we, God's people, not setting up our lives in such a way to make sure we are getting healthy doses of dopamine on a daily basis? Why? Why are we not doing that? I don't know, but we need to. How do you get it? Laugh. Laughter's amazing. Laugh a lot. I know Brene's got lots of it released through her. She laughs all the time. I love it. Nature. Get outside. Get outside. Yesterday, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe my house yesterday. I had cheer girls, like, I don't even know, 20 cheer girls all afternoon at my house, Livy and her cheer team making posters and all this stuff. And then the night Michael had, I don't even know, 10, 12, 15 guys. I mean, we had like estrogen all day and testosterone all night. I mean, and they're like playing games outside, and then they're watching this fight and on the TV, not with one another, you know. Had to be clear about that one. And I was like, I mean, and I'm like trying to like, you know, lean into the message. And I was like, at one point, I was like, I got to get out of here. I was like, I just had to go outside. I had to, the wind, the air, the fresh air was good for my soul, my body, my spirit. I had to move a little instead of just sitting on my couch, you know, working on the message on my left. I had to move. And it helped. I could feel it. Dopamine was released. Do something creative. Play the guitar. Play the piano. Go do hobbies. Go to camping. Get in the woods. That was so good for you all last weekend. Like, we need to do things. Look it up. There's a dopamine diet that somebody came out with a few years ago. I don't know if it works. I'm not endorsing it. I have no idea. But all I know is do some research. Do some research. Let's be intentional about giving our bodies what they need. All right? That's my little health plop right there. All right. Unbelief. Maybe unbelief is your issue. Mark 9:24. It's a simple, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's a cry for help. Then just ask him. He wants to help us. Maybe you've got a really bad judgmental, critical spirit, and you're negative all the time. Well, the good news is Psalm 19:14 is your word. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Get a word and stand on it. So what's the first key? Partner with his freedom. Second key, get a word and then stand on it. Third key to living free, have an accurate view of God. And I'm sorry that these all three don't start with the same letter and they don't have they're not like a little three-word phrase. I really tried. I just couldn't do it. So it's have an accurate view of God. It is what it is. But I need you to believe the truth about God, about who he really is. And I think we all have a tendency in our carnal nature to think wrongly about God, whether it be through our upbringing, whether it be through our experiences, whether it be through trauma or hard times. It's like the enemy will use anything he can to get us, as young as we can, to start lying to us about who God is. Just like he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. He's like, did God really say that? Is he really good? I don't know about that, Eve. I'm not sure. He does the same thing with us from as young as possible until our last breath. He will try to lie to you and lie to me. Is God really going to take care of me? Does he really care about this area of my life? Is he really going to come through? Well, if he is, why hasn't he answered this prayer yet? Why have I been praying so long? I've been doing these things. Why hasn't he come through? Why am I still struggling with this? Why am I dealing with this issue? Why is this coming back? And you can just go on and on. And then all of a sudden you realize, you've got this skewed view of God, of Father God, that does not line up with the Word of God whatsoever. We have to have an accurate view of God. We need to do an inventory of our thoughts. We need to take that inventory. Is it really true about my Father God? So many of us that we don't think he loves us. We think he's out to get us. We think he's just waiting on us to make a mistake so he can zap us. Do you know how many people have told me that in almost 30 years of ministry? Countless times. I know he's just this big guy in the sky waiting for me to screw up, make a mistake so he can get me. I've heard that so many times. It is so anti-true. We think he's mean. We think God's angry. Do you know that God is happy? He's really happy. I have a friend, and she calls our church the Happy Church. I love that. When she told me that for the first time, I'm like, I love it. She was like, yeah, like everybody's happy. It's like you really experience that God's happy. Wow, that's a concept, right? A bunch of believers, Christians, together, worshiping the King, the Savior of the world, the Savior of their lives. What do we have to be happy about? We should be happy. We think he's far away and distant. We think he cares and listens to other people, but not us. We think the payment he made for our sins isn't enough, so we need to work to add to it. We think he loves other people more. We think he wants to punish us, that he holds blessings back from us. We think we're too messed up, too dirty, too stained, too ruined to be loved by him. We think wrongly about our Father. We have to have an accurate view of God. A.W. Tozer, he's an American pastor and author. I love this. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God, hear me, is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. A low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils. And a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 problems. It's critical that we view God accurately. I don't have time to go into the dozens and dozens of truths about who God is. He's all powerful, my friends. Job 42:2, he can do anything. He can do everything. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is out of his reach. Whatever the worst circumstance, situation that you have in your life, it is redeemable. It is rescuable. God is all powerful to come in and do it. That's what's true. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us with the kind of love that we will never really, truly, fully ever comprehend on this side of heaven. It's too good. And no one will ever love us like he loves us. He's good. In his very essence, he is good. There is no evil in him. He is all goodness. And you can, and I encourage you to look up, Google, get in your reference in the back of your Bible, look up all the things about how powerful and loving and good he is and so much more. But we've got to line up our view of God accurately with what the Word says, with who he truly is. In order to walk free in the freedom he's called us to walk in. An inaccurate view will cause us to not walk in the full freedom that's offered to us. As I close, my grandma, as I was growing up, my parents built a house on land, on my grandparents' land next to them. My grandparents had 109 acres of farm. They had a beautiful, big, two-story white farmhouse with an attic you could walk in and a basement. But in the front room, my grandma's house, grandma and grandpa's house, she had this couch, beautiful, brand new looking couch, and it was wrapped in this plastic. It was terrible to sit on. I mean, you were like, it's crinkly and hard. And then she had these stunning pillows and this throw that she called it her wardrobe. It was this big piece of furniture in her front room. And she had all these beautiful, unused pillows and throws in this wardrobe. I never saw them come out of there. The only way I even knew that they were in there was because I used to get in there to play hide and seek when we played hide and seek. I never saw them come out of the wardrobe. I never saw the plastic come off the couch. What good is it to have furniture, to have the couch and the pillows and the throw that are stunning, they're exquisite, they're beautiful, worth a lot? And yet you never enjoy it. You never use it. What good is it? What good is Jesus paying the price for your freedom and my freedom and having it available to us? And yet we don't partner with him to say, yes, I want more freedom in my life. There's a word called appropriation. It means to take it for your use, to take it for one's use. We need to appropriate the blood. We need to appropriate the freedom. Take it. It's ours for the taking. It's our inheritance. It's right here. But we have to say, yes, I'm partnering with it. I want this. I'm going to apply this. I'm going to stand on this. We need to appropriate the freedom that was purchased with his blood to our lives. So what one thing do you want to be walking? Do you need? What one thing? Listen, you're not that good. There's more than one issue that you've got in your life, okay? So there's more than one in mine. What's the one thing, though? God doesn't overwhelm us. He's so kind. What one thing right now is he highlighting in your spirit? Let's take that one thing right now and appropriate the freedom to it. And then let's continue day after day to partner with that freedom. Say yes to that freedom. To refuse the temptation with the word that we're standing on. Because we know he loves us and he's for us. And he has victory for us. Amen? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that there's no one like you and that you're amazing. And we thank you that you've given your life and you've given everything for us. You held nothing back, Jesus. And we thank you that the freedom you purchased with your very life, with your very blood, is offered to us to walk in it fully. And so today, Lord, we make a decision to receive that inheritance in the name of Jesus. By faith, we receive it. By faith, we choose to partner with you to walk it out, God. So we ask that you would come alongside us with your grace right now, God. And I just declare and speak freedom over your people today in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for the process of walking and partnering with you for this rich freedom that you've given us. We receive it today in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.